Welcome to Beeline, your 95 BFM news podcast, delivering straight up news.
Kia ora and welcome to Beeline. This week's episode is on young people and news media in Aotearoa. When starting this episode, I was guided by the statement that seems to be blanketed over young people without a second thought. Young people are disengaged from politics. I don't think this statement is true. I see young people every day posting on social media or interacting with posts on social media detailing the injustices happening across the globe. In Aotearoa, criticising a recent government policy or urging people to vote in local elections. Overseas, noting the recent announcements from the US president or the horrific occupation of Gaza. Young people evidently care about the political aspects of society. The question is how they show that care. Young people are consistently the demographic that news organisations struggle to reach and engage with. This is a twofold problem. Young people don't engage with traditional news outputs, and news organisations have not made a substantial effort to remedy that. That's partially the rationale behind this podcast. Young people need to lead the conversation on what news works best for us. To start this episode on news media and young people, I wanted to interview people on the University of Auckland campus about their thoughts on news and politics. Every group of people we approached, however, declined to comment. Some had class, some were busy, and one said he didn't want to say anything that could get him in trouble. Why is this? Did I just get unlucky? Did I give up prematurely after too many rejections stung my ego? It's definitely possible, but I think it could also be emblematic of the issue at hand. Young people aren't disengaged from politics. I'm sure each of these people have thoughts and opinions about a myriad of issues in society. They're probably just not too keen on sharing those thoughts with a stranger holding a microphone, which, I mean, fair enough. To discuss news, then, I had to focus on conversations with the people making the news, making sure to focus on the perspectives of young people in the sector. I began by talking to politics reporter for The Spin-off, Lyric Waiwiri Smith, asking her about whether narratives that young people are disengaged with news are true.
Speaking as a young person, I can kind of understand there's a, I guess, a malaise amongst, the youth, and the youth in the sense being anyone under 25 about the state of the world. I feel like when I talk to my friends, it's often I don't want to read the news because it affects my mental health, or it's just something that, you know, our parents watch the nightly news, but we haven't carried that on. We don't read the newspaper. We sort of get it all on our phones, so our relationship definitely is very different to the media, and I think in that way we sometimes miss a lot of detail and favour for formats like, I suppose, an Instagram infographic, which is easy to share, easy to understand, but might miss a whole lot of substance or other detail. Not the same as reading, you know, a full story, but that's, you know, that's how it is, and I guess the challenge is how do media outlets adapt to that.
Yeah, you mentioned a little bit there. We've seen like evidence from overseas that young people don't engage as much with traditional news media sources such as TV, radio, newspapers, as you mentioned. What is The Spin-off doing to combat this here?
I think in NZ On Air's 2024, with the audiences our survey, they found that global video sharing platforms reach about 90% of 15 to 24-year-olds in New Zealand. So 90% of people in that age bracket are looking at their TikToks, looking at their YouTube. So something we've done, just sort of looked today, is this explainer series called Now You Know. We've got Robbie Nicol, who very famously did White Guy Behind a Desk for a while, doing the sort of video format explainer series that takes the big topics of the week, tries to condense it down in a way that's not too difficult to understand. You know, there's that sort of classic spin-off humour that you can, you know, expect. There's graphics to make it look prettier and, you know, appeal to the eyes. And so that's sort of, you know, we're trying to meet the audience where they're at and still keep people informed, because that's, you know, that's the game. That's what we're in the business of doing, is sharing information, and we still want to make sure that information is reliable and relatable and digestible, pretty much.
Yeah, and a lot of the issues, I mean, young people run into with traditional news content in Aotearoa certainly, but also overseas, is that, you know, some of this content can be unappealing or not that engaging or sometimes even condescending. How do you think the spin-off is going to get around this with this new series?
Yeah, I guess that the fear of cringe, you know, is always a big thing for media outlets to consider. You know, if we try and promote, you know, try and do something that's youth focused, are we just going to look cringe? Are we just going to look a bit old and out of fashion? I think TVNZ has done it quite well with Renews. Like, it totally feels like its own thing. It's really, it's got a lot of, you know, appeal to younger audiences. So they've done that really well. And with Now You Know, I think, you know, it's, we know that video works for younger people. You know, they're more likely to watch a TikTok video than read 800 words in a news piece. And, you know, I'd like to think that given Robbie's been around the yards and done this thing, that he can, that will deliver a pretty, you know, relatable product that's keeping people informed, still funny, hopefully gets over that cringe part, because, you know, it's I guess it's about trusting in the product and really putting your all into it and not just throwing it out there because you just hope you can catch the eyeballs of a few young people, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Why do you think it's important for, especially from the spin-off's perspective, for young people to be consuming and engaging with news content at the moment?
Yeah, I would say that it's important for everyone to be informed. And obviously you see this kind of dip when it comes to young people engaging with news. And, you know, totally understandable that the news often makes us feel despairing about the world, and it's, you know, sometimes often quite boring, or it doesn't make sense, and it's quite technical, there's all these things going on, and what do you pay attention to, and what's spin, and what's truth, and, you know, who's leaning a certain way. So there's a whole lot of, you know, I guess sort of apprehension about the media, and that's really, I don't think that's a good thing, because, you know, we need to have trust in the media to keep us informed and to, you know, shed a light on what's happening in society. You know, that is the role of the news and of journalists, is to, you know, unearth, you know, the important things that affect you and I on a daily basis, to, you know, keep you and I informed about how, you know, policy changes will affect us. And, you know, if we keep up the, you know, keep up with the news, and we'll hopefully do it our whole lives, and just, I don't know, I think the thing for me is just, I really want young people to know what's happening, and I really want them to be engaged, and so I enjoy working at the spin-off, because, you know, you get to write in this sort of humorous, satirical tone sometimes, and I feel like that really works for young people, just cracking a few jokes and trying a tone that is a bit less, you know, a bit less serious, a bit less, you know, full-on broadcaster vibes, and try and make sure that the next generation is carrying on the habit of news reading and staying informed, because if that fully dropped off, then, you know, I'd be really worried about how we understand society and how we understand ourselves.
And I wanted to speak a little bit to that spin-off style as well. You mentioned the humorous qualities. How well will that spin-off style, I guess, and what efforts are being taken to make sure that spin-off style translates into this new short video content series?
I think it's natural for us. I don't know how quite to say, like, how to... Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you can't always teach funny. You know, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But I feel like the spin-off is such an eclectic group of, you know, characters who are very colourful. You know, we're all very curious about the world. I feel like we're all really funny as well. So I feel like it's quite natural for us. And I feel like people who, our readers know what to expect, and they know the tone. They, you know, love having a laugh. And I feel like spin-off products will always be that, you know. It won't ever try to be anything else, because we just do our thing. And I feel like we have carved out actually quite a nice niche for ourselves, because I don't think anyone does what we do.
Yeah, and then lastly, if you had to give one message to young people who are maybe disengaged with news content or are engaging more with news content from independent creators on social media and less with news content from our Aotearoa organisations, what kind of message would you give them, you know, to encourage them to look at more content from stuff made here?
I would say, just like how you recognise an influencer and you follow them because they keep you up to date with the news, there's probably a journalist that works at the Spin-Offs, or you know, even Stuff or the Herald, that you'll probably, you know, you'll find that you quite enjoy their stories, that they've got their beat or their patch. So you can find, you know, I guess that influencer in the news outlets themselves. You know, there might be someone who shares your interest and is, you know, frequently writing about it. I'd also say that I have read some. There's been like some occasions where I've read kind of those Instagram infographics that get shared around pretty widely, and it's just, there's just some information that hasn't been fact checked. It's not true. So I would also warn that, you know, everything, just because it's coming from an Instagram account with 50,000 followers and they lean the same way that you lean, doesn't mean the information will always be correct. And, you know, in saying that, there is a lot to say about low levels of trust in the media, and you know how things, how certain topics are discussed, and what stays in the news and what doesn't stay in the news. So I totally understand when people have apprehensions about the media being biased, or they ignore these problems specifically and all of that. But I would challenge young people to find a journalist that speaks for them, you know, stories that they really like, and I think they'd probably find someone who they can, you know, follow in that way, and then kind of read wider, and yeah, just hopefully just click on RNZ every now and then.
I then spoke to video journalist at ReNews, Janhavi Gosavi, starting out by asking what the niche or gap in the Aotearoa media landscape is that ReNews was designed to fill.
ReNews was created with the intention of making news for young people in the way that they want to receive it. So it was created with the intention of prioritising the things that young people actually care about. Maybe giving them the news about things they don't necessarily care about, but in a way that is appealing and digestible to them. And it was designed very specifically for digital audiences. So this is a very digital first platform. And it was designed to meet young people where they are, both literally and also meeting them in the stage of life that they are and with the priorities that they have.
How much has ReNews grown since it was founded?
So I wasn't around while ReNews was founded, but from everything that I've learnt, I think it's gone through a lot of experimental stages of figuring out what it is that the audience needs it to be and what it is that it wants to be. So we've had kind of different phases of Re. Currently the phase that we're in is that we're very video focused. So now we've turned all of our attention to delivering stories through a video medium. We used to do articles as well. We used to do a lot more infographics. So Re has evolved, I guess, in the same way that social media evolves. There's a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of experimentation. There's a lot of kind of just, you know, trying stuff out and seeing what works. And I think that's also what's enabled us to be in touch with our audience, is because we've given things a go and because we've gone, okay, we're not going to necessarily be like every other traditional media outlet. In being for young people, I think we need to be fluid and we need to move with the times like young people do on social media. So yeah, there's been a lot of different phases. But I mean, it's gone from, you know, an Instagram account that was created in 2017, I believe, and now we almost have 100,000 followers. We connect with millions of people, and so I think the growth has been quite exponential. And I don't necessarily know if when ReNews was created, if, you know, the people that created it knew that it would get this big. But to me, I think it makes sense why it's gotten this big. I think, you know, now being a journalist on the team, but also before that, for years, I was someone who loved watching race content. And that's what made me want to work here in the first place. This was kind of a bit of a dream job for me. And I was one of those, you know, tens of thousands of young New Zealanders who went, these guys are making news like no one else is making news. And they're doing current affairs and they're doing profiles and they're making things in a way that actually feels real and relatable to me. So I don't know, I think when I take a step back and think about it, it's kind of crazy how much it's grown, but it also, it just makes sense.
You mentioned multiple phases and stages in ReNews's lifetime. What kind of guiding principles or philosophies have brought ReNews through these stages?
For context, I joined the team in September 2023. And I think that the guiding principles of Re that have really kind of stood the test of time throughout all of those different phases have been meeting young people where they are, understanding the things that is that they actually care about, and listening to them and not just speaking at them. I think basic things that feel really basic to us are things like using accessible language, saying things in the easiest, most simplest, and most straightforward way that we can. So having that accessibility of language, being a diverse and inclusive space that values things like Kao Māori news and rainbow news and news for diverse communities that don't necessarily get served in other places. I think stuff like valuing diversity and trying to be as accessible as possible, and genuinely putting young people at the centre of our stories, I think those principles have always been there. I think something that I'm personally really proud of that Re does is that no matter what story we tell, whether it is directly about a young person or about an issue that we think young people care about, our priority is always, okay, whoever the main person is, they need to be a young person and they need to ideally have some kind of lived experience about this thing. And we try to put those people at the centre of our stories. Like, I do stories about education and I'm always going to try and centre the voice of students within that, instead of centering the voice of, you know, principals and like academic experts. Those people are all really important and they all have a really vital role to play. But I think the thing that Re does really well is goes, at the heart of all of this, there are real young people. And I think that young people connect news when they see young people being the focus of that news. And I think that's what Re does really well.
How does ReNews ensure that its content is interesting and appealing to young audiences?
Re has a very small team that runs it. And I think that, I don't know, maybe from the outside, it feels like, we might be running focus groups. Like, what is it? I think in reality, it's a small group of journalists who, young or somewhat young themselves, we talk to other young people, we are on social media. I think having young journalists telling stories for other young people is definitely part of that recipe for success, because it's much easier to cater to a crowd that you fundamentally belong to. We read the comments and we see the people that share our stories, and a lot of what Re does is doing social media call outs and saying, hey, you know, we're doing a story about ADHD, and we want to hear from you guys. You know, if you're interested in being part of the story, send us a DM or email us. A lot of what we do is communicate to our audience through social media. And I think by not just putting things out one way, but by trying to receive audience responses as well, I think that's what keeps that connection alive. And every now and then we used to do like these audience surveys where like once a year we'd hear from our audience and we'd be like, what do you like that we do? What do you want to see more of? What do you want to see less of? And we try and use that information to also inform some of the stories that we do.
What does ReNews do to combat youth disengagement from traditional forms of news media, like newspapers and television, to ensure that you're engaging with young audiences on their own terms?
I think, not to repeat myself, but I think that something that genuinely does catch people's attention is when if you're scrolling on Instagram and you see a video start playing, and the first person that you see and the first voice that you hear as a young person. And they're saying something that feels like something a real young person would say. I think that 100% catches people. So I think that. I also think that a lot of the times when we do stories, they're either stories about topics that have been covered by other news outlets, but we do it in a more re way, or they're stories that maybe haven't been covered at all. And I think that our style of, like, with our, I guess, with the way that we write things, with the way that we script things, with the way that we try to deliver, you know, our piece to cameras, we're trying to be real people speaking to other real people. Some examples of, you know, a story that Re might do on a topic that maybe a lot of news media are covering is Re might go, okay, this thing is happening in the news, but instead of just doing, you know, an overall piece that's quite general about it, let's find a specific young person who has a specific lived experience and let's do a profile video on this person when they talk about how the thing makes them feel. Or if, you know, if it's something to do with, I don't know, schools or like a community-based issue, we might try to deliver it in a way that really breaks it down for young people. Instead of assuming that they know certain things or certain words and kind of just rolling with it, we might break it down a little bit more and go, this is what you need to understand about this issue. I think part of what catches young people about our content is that we do try and incorporate an element of fun. Like, again, like, I think that part of the reason why people might disengage from news is because a lot of the time it feels heavy, because a lot of the time it is heavy. So trying to find appropriate moments where we can bring in a little bit of levity is, I think, another thing that is cool. Like, at Waitangi, a colleague of mine did a video where she went around and she asked people, you know, the meaning and the significance behind their taonga, you know, like what they were wearing and what their taonga meant to them. And that was cool. And I remember another colleague of mine did like a funny video kind of analysing the bro handshake and like the origins of it and what the bro handshake means in New Zealand and, you know, to men in New Zealand. And so I think finding those appropriate moments where you can do something that's quite beautiful and light and meaningful to people, but that doesn't always weigh them down. I think that's also another thing that we try to do to make sure that young people keep engaging with the news.
The main thing we're touching on is that young people are disengaged from news content and that they might be consuming less news content than older generations, both now and when they were younger. Is ReNews doing a good job combating this, or is there still more that needs to be done?
I guess without trying to sound corny, me and my colleagues genuinely, like, we're trying our best. And I think that, like, truly with the way that social media evolves and with the way that, you know, young people's communication online evolves, I think, you know, media outlets are going to have to keep evolving. I mean, I don't know if anyone has, like, a perfect recipe for how it is to get young people to engage with the news. I think there's concrete things that you can continue to try to do, like, genuinely listen to young people and ask them what they want to see and pull through on that. I don't know if anyone has it like perfectly figured out, but I don't know, on a personal level, I'm super proud of the work that we do, and I think that we are really, really good at what we do. I think something that I want to add to that is that, again, this is my personal view, but I don't think young people are disengaged with the news. Like, if anything, I think that young people now more so than potentially in previous years are super engaged with the news. Like, I see so many, like, young people who are 13, 14, 15. I was never this engaged with news and politics and social affairs when I was that age, but I think young people know what's happening in the country, in the world, and I do think that they care, and I think that we see it, you know, in the comments under our posts. I see it in terms of the conversations that people are having on TikTok. Like, I think that sometimes, I don't know, I do understand that, you know, that people are needing to make really, like, concerted effort to keep young people engaged with it. But I think at the same time, I feel like Gen Z and Gen Alpha, like, I think they really care. And I think that you see that in terms of like the protests that happen and the petitions that happen and all of the youth activism that's happening in this country. I mean, Youth Parliament recently happened, and that was like, that was again another way that really young New Zealanders are saying that we know what's happening and we have opinions and thoughts on it. So yeah, I think that, I don't know, I don't feel like I've seen a drop off in engagement in terms of our audience. I think that they've only continued to grow, and I think that there is very much so that appetite for news. So yeah, I don't know, because I sometimes get asked that by, you know, by older people. They're like, oh, well, do kids even care about the news these days? And my genuine answer to that is yes. I think they really do. I think they really, really do care. And I also think that they're not afraid to say what they want and ask for what they want to see more of.
It seems like there's a miscommunication in Aotearoa, where young people are more political than ever, but news organisations can't seem to capture that. Renews has done that in a way where it doesn't feel condescending or inauthentic. Can you speak to that?
I think that it's a balancing act, right? Where on one hand, you want to remain accessible and you want to meet people where they are by going, okay, let's not assume that everyone who's watching this knows everything. Like, a colleague of mine did this like big video talking about water infrastructure and Three Waters. And that feels like something that young people wouldn't care about. Like, water infrastructure isn't the sexiest topic. But he went, okay, let's sit here and let's talk about this thing, which I think that I can get young people to care about if I meet them where they're at and if I really break this down. So on one hand, you've got that, where you want to be accessible.
Yeah, 100%.
On the other hand, I think that you never ever want to lean into like condescension. I think that young people catch on quite quickly when they feel like they're being talked down to, or when they feel like their intelligence isn't being acknowledged. And yeah, we try really, really hard to never do that. I think Renews is big on, you know, giving young people credit for the extremely intelligent people that they are. So I think that, yeah, I think that it's a balancing act between like being accessible and meeting people where they're at, but also, I don't know, just like meeting them where they're at and not talking down to them and not talking up at them, just having honest communication. And again, yeah. I think that it is valuable therefore to have young people who are journalists doing that work, because yeah, it's young people know what other young people are like. And so I think that that also speaks to like why we need, you know, more young people in newsrooms, why we need more young people to want to be journalists and to want to pursue careers like these. It's because at some point I'm going to age out of this. And that means that someone else is going to have to come in and they're going to have to be the next young journalist who really cares about rangatahi issues. So Yeah, I hope that there are still, and I know that there are still so many young people out there who really care about journalism and who care about delivering that journalism to their peers.
Thanks for listening. Thank you to all of our guests, politics reporter for the spin-off Lyric Waiwiri Smith, and video journalist from Renews, Janhavi Gosavi. Beeline will be back next week with an episode discussing the NCEA system in light of the announced overhaul. Ka kite!
Thanks for listening to Beeline, your 95 BFM news podcast, delivering straight up news.